gracious God. Father, we thank you tonight. We know that you have been our leader and our guide. Come through these years, dear God. Though it has been a straight and narrow path, though it has been a very dark time, Lord, yet because of your Holy Spirit, the divine promises you have made, that you said you will never leave us nor forsake us, lo, I am with you always. God, we realize that if we had to walk by ourselves, if we have had to depend upon our own ability, surely we'd be lost somewhere today. But here we are still walking in the light. The word is unfolding. The way is growing clearer. We see that we are nearing home, Father. The joy rises in our hearts. You know, it's not many more days. And even though it might be getting a little steeper, Lord, yet we are encouraged to know you are here. Truly, you have never left us nor forsaken us. And we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for your unfailing words of promise. We feel comforted, Lord. We feel loved. We feel accepted. Oh, God, you've been good to us. Thy loving kindness is better than life. We are thankful tonight. God, it gives us confidence that you who begin the work will perform it even until that day. You have proven and shown to us down through these years that you are a prayer answering God. That you are a God who cares. You are a God who is more than able. You have shown us regardless of circumstances. Regardless of how much the enemy would try to hinder us. That if God be for us, who can be against us? So we worship you tonight, Father. And we express our thankfulness that we can be in the house of the Lord tonight. That we can come, Lord, with our offspring. We can come and be gathered together and worship you, knowing that your presence is in our midst. Blessed be your name. We salute you, Lord. We give you honor and glory. Blessed be your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We look forward to your blessings tonight. We depend upon your inspiration. We ask for your guidance and direction. And may this service be a blessing and upliftment to the hearts of your people. May at the end of it we feel strengthened, rooted and grounded, Lord. May we be encouraged, Lord. May we be more determined to serve you. Hallelujah. Teach us your ways. Train us, Lord. Hallelujah. That through your grace, through your divine leading, Lord God, through the ordained experiences that you have ordained for us, Lord, may we be perfected and may we stand full and complete in Christ, fully redeemed. Oh, how we love you and appreciate you. God, bless all our children. Bless the strangers and visitors in our gates. Again, that are unable to be here. Oh, God, I pray you touch them. Father, the ones that are in need, the ones that are in grief, dear God, the ones that are weak at this time, oh God, may you remember them in a special way. May the all-sufficiency of the living God be so freely extended to them at this time of need. He said, we cast our cares upon you, you care for us. Through sunshine or shadow, you care for us. Lord, let them know that they will care for your word, and you care for them. Have thine own way in this service now. We commit all things to thy hands. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Father, knowing the things you put in my heart, Lord, let feeling strange you led this way tonight. I depend upon you, not knowing what to say and how to go and what to do. Just coming to the pulpit here to depend upon you. Lead our servant and have thine own way. Get glory to thyself. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And God bless you. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Daniel. Also want to get through Samuel also. And I don't know, I was just, you know, here trying to study today and It just seems I felt so impressed. So come and speak to the young people tonight. That I just thought I would do that, and I asked the brothers to just get all the young ones up in front and have some of the young ones sing, that we could create that type of atmosphere, because I just felt that God just wanted that tonight, and I would put a little emphasis especially for them. And when we preach for the adults, we always trust in our faith that they who have a lower level of understanding would receive in the measure and the capacity that they could receive at their level. So I trust that when we speak for the smaller ones, the bigger ones would be able to take in the principle and apply it at their level and benefit also. Because the word of God covers all in the same word, and He says, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. And I just want to try to do that tonight. And I ask for the undivided attention for all the young people, and I included, I'm young. Though I stand here and my head is fully gray, and I feel tired and weary and come to many hard years, but yet I feel young at heart. I tell my wife and I tell the brothers sometimes, they say, you know, we're growing old. Maybe I can't do a lot of things I used to do as a young boy, but in my mind, I sure feel I could do it. Only when I try to do it, sometimes I realize I'm many years past that, but the thoughts and the feeling as a young man is still there. I guess I'm closer to 18 and 19 than I'm closer to 50. You understand that? Because I may have to live the next 10 years to be 50, but I believe the Lord will come with before that 10 years, and I believe I'll be 18 and 19. 18 and 19, so I feel closer to 18 to 19 than to 50. Amen. So I trust you feel the same way tonight, because what age you looking at, that you feel closer knowing the nearness of the coming of the Lord. God name be praised tonight. You feel good to be in the house? Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Daniel chapter 1. We're trying our best in the assembly here to help all, and with special emphasis to the young ones. And I believe, you know, like my little boy to me was telling me Sunday he's going home, you know, or when he's home rather. He was so blessed in Sunday school, and he says, you know, when the sisters say that, you know, the class was over, he said, no, I just feel like I gotta tell her, no, just keep going on, you know. That he was so caught up, and you know, as any father, that would bless your heart if you have a little boy or a little girl to tell you to enjoy the things of God. And I trust tonight that one little portion I could say to encourage them, you know, make them, I don't have much communication with them. This small, I pass and see them and say, how are you going? Shake their hand, or unless maybe with some special need, or if you have the time in some special place, you would spend a little more time with different ones and talk to them and communicate with them, only to realize they like it and appreciate that, and I enjoy it myself talking to them. So I guess maybe tonight I trust that God to make me a blessing to them in a direct way, that they could sit and hear the word of God and see something. I'll just, didn't have much time, and you know, just come to me today, and I'm trying to study, and I had to try to come up early because I had an appointment here. One of the sister's son here who want to be married and not really a Christian, but talking to them and presenting Christ to them and trying to help them. And I think God was really moving in a very tremendous way in the room, and I just had to hear this, the time for me to come on the platform, and just had to come out. So I'm just trying to speak from my heart and catch the inspiration to say something. I believe at this time is going to help them, and God will help me to build on this little thought that you've given me today concerning them. Amen. I thought it might have come out different. We're going to have a little meeting with just those involved, and then somebody said, no, use this service and do that. You know, just bring up in front, speak to them, and because You may not even have the time, and you may not even get to spend the time with them to do like that, because they are important also. So I just trust it's going to come out right and be a blessing for us all. Daniel 1. Verse 3. But all the boys, little boys and girls, look in the Bibles, have the Bibles here. I want to know when they come to the house of God. It's always good to walk with your Bible and, you know, learn to read it. Same way you learn to read your reading book. Amen? It's the most read reading book that there is in the whole world, the Bible. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children to Israel, and the king's seed, and of the princes. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom. I like that, children in whom there was no blemish. Amen. But well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and gifted in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability. And I'm sure he's going to break it down. There are some young ones here who understand science. You have those here well favored. You have them here without blemish, clean and spotted by the world and these things. You have some here skillful in wisdom, gifted in knowledge, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and the wine he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that the end of them they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. I want all the children to see that. He purposed in his heart, made up his mind, he was settled with him. He put a rock inside of the air, purpose in his heart, that he was not going to move away from that, that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Wherefore he requested of the king of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and compassion with the prince of the eunuchs. Verse 17. As for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Notice that, skill in all learning and wisdom. When it say all learning, it covers everything. Mathematics, geography, history, language, social studies, it covers everything in all learning. But even the more vocational side, architectural, drawing, mechanics, whatever it is, woodcraft, whatever it is, in all learning, God gave them skill. I want you to know God can give you skill in all learning. And wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king conversed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king acquired of them, he found them 10 times better. Why they were 10 times better? Because they got ears from God. God gave it to them. He didn't say they didn't learn. They had to learn 10 times harder than the other children. He said it was 10 times better because God gave it to them. It wasn't of their own ability. It wasn't that they spent more time in it. It was that they had purpose in their heart to please God, and God has purpose in his heart to give them something a little more. Amen. Verse We put down all matter of wisdom and understanding, and the king inquires every fong of debt and debtor, and all the magicians and astrologers that with all his wealth. Daniel continued even unto the first year of the king of Cyrus, King Cyrus. And I want to read 1 Samuel. I want to take two young boys, Daniel, three young boys, rather, David and Esau. Young people tonight, amen, that God gives skill to. We're going to talk about skill and understanding, my little subject, skill and understanding. I'm going to make this a young people tape, amen. Young people have this tape in the library for them that they can listen to it over and catch back some of the things and try to see what the Holy Spirit is. If the Holy Spirit is in my heart today, really Holy, I'm living the Holy Spirit. I'm looking to see if confirm it here tonight. It is the Holy Spirit. And I'm looking to see him deal with you, and you know it is him, since that he gave it for you. And I want to see you benefit from it after having received it. And then you look back in your life to the obedience to the word and see that this night, the 20th of November 1990, the pastor came and said, God put something in his heart for you. And if you receive it as from God, then maybe later on down the road, you can look back and say, I had faith in it, and I believe in it, and I had received it as God. And I see how it has helped me down till this time. Just have faith. Let us try in time tonight. Let us exercise our faith in time tonight by the grace of God. You are my little brothers and sisters, and I love you very much. And I want to try to make up where I lack in years past and give some time and attention to you to help you. And I feel God know my heart for you, and he put something in my heart for you. Amen. Oh, Samuel 16:18. There was a little story when they were looking for a man to come and play music for King Saul. He tried to soothe his spirit because he had a mental problem, because an evil spirit from the Lord was troubling him. He's very tense and moody and neurotic, and you know, and to kind of soothe his nerves. Maybe all his nerve pills wasn't working, all the medication the doctors, you know, wasn't helping. So they tried to get a skillful person. But God always has skillful. God always makes his children skillful. Verse 18, then answered one of the servants, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is a cunning, or skillful is the better word, skillful in playing, and a mighty, valiant man. He is mighty, powerful, he is valiant, he is brave, a man of war, courageous, disciplined, and prudent in matters, responsible, and an agreeable person, not argumentative and always in strife and trying to bring division and you know, full of animosity. An agreeable person. Person you can work with, person you can cooperate and you can get along and you can achieve a lot of things with. Agreeable person. Comely. And the Lord is with him. See why he had all the things? And the Lord is with him. Genesis 27. Last but not least, Esau, lovely boy, talented boy, also a skillful boy. Daniel was skillful, God gave him skill, God gave him skill. Esau was very skillful. Did I say 27? I think I called it wrong scripture. It's 25 I have here. 25, verse 27. That was it, verse 27. Chapter 25, verse 27. Speaking about these two boys, Esau, Jacob. And the boys grew up right under prophet influence. Grew up coming out of a womb, out of the bride that Eliezer brought. The boys grew, and Esau was a cunning or skillful hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man or quiet man dwelling in tents. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we look back in the Bible, you give us examples, instruction, righteousness. It's known the scriptures came by inspiration, men of old, but moved by the Holy Ghost. They've been preserved and handed down to us. The Lord, as we can meditate in it, give ourselves holy unto it, that we can grow up to be real, fine examples of what Christianity really is all about. I pray, dear God, as we endeavor to speak something tonight, Father, that these thy young lambs, thy servant ask for grace and inspiration. Words, Lord, that would go deep down in their hearts, cause them to think relevant to their lives, Lord. To help them understand their purpose and how they can serve you, how they can develop to be real fine young men and young women, to be written epistles, one of all men, oracles of the living God. Jesus, we ask for your assistance tonight, for only you can speak words that would have the influence, that would shape and mold the lives of our young people, Lord. It is something that would really stand out this hour. Lord God, may we have taken this time for them tonight. We ask for this assistance. Won't you bless us, Father? Give us this grace. So we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless me. I'm with you. Amen. Now that I say just basically for the young people, and I'm just going to try to get their attention, and I want them to listen to me and look at me, just like they look at a teacher in school, when they go to school and the teacher stand up there, and just like when they're in Sunday school and they sit there in their own class and the word is being taught them, and taking for a little target tonight, skill and understanding, because you know, ever since we had seen the great need to help our young people, to pay attention to them, to try to enter in at their level and see how they feel, how they think. Not to let our opinion and our thoughts override theirs, and not to keep them in forced subjection, but to recognize that they too can be blessed of God. But the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God of ordained strength, God of perfected praise. And in many other places, it says, and Jesus, if you become as one of these, then you could be converted. Then you can receive something from God. If you don't humble yourself like one of these, then God can exalt you. And he points us in places where he says, also a little child shall lead them. And we see in the Bible that even a little girl gave advice to a general's wife. She was a slave in the book of Kings, in the house of Naaman. And she was testifying about a prophet. And God used those words to bring peace between two nations. God used those words that came out of the mouth of a girl to bring deliverance to a great mighty man who had fought many battles, who had seen thousands and tens of thousands died on the battlefield, who had led men to great triumph, who had done great exploits, who was a great man in his nation, who was an important man, who had a national status. And yet God used such a figure to be humbled by the words that came out of the mouth of a little girl to take direction when the man sought the best medical opinion. A little girl there, sometimes we don't know what we can say. Sometimes we think we have to try to express ourselves with great learning. But all we need sometimes is to speak from the honesty of our hearts. Because that's where truth lies. Truth don't lie. The more learned people come, if they don't have truth in them, they use all their learning to fabricate convincing lies.
Or they use their learning to try to destroy the truth and propagate ideas to lead many others astray. And especially in the 20th century, they found out that most of the great criminals and most of the people behind bars and the crimes being done today is being done in people in color and tie jobs and people of great learning. Because to beat the system today, you have to be a real thinker. You have to know the ropes, the ins and outs. You have to be able to talk to people in high places. And it seems like the educational system is just breeding, cultivating and culturing the people in that type of mold, in that type of attitude. It seems that the kind of films the film world is bringing out for young girls and boys and things that they're seeing and they're being influenced by and their lives being shaped. They're doing things with their mommy and their grandmommy with blush and a fear to venture into. As young teenage, they don't live lives already. But their mommy didn't even live when she's 80. No. It's a changing world. It's a rough world, it's a ruthless world. And I believe because many a time we don't have situations to cause us to look at it. Because many times it takes a situation. It takes conditions to cause you to look at certain things. You have no children, you don't maybe look at things that pertain to children. Because your whole life revolves around yourself. There's not a need, there's not a demand in your life to share your life or to live in the lives of others. Like I was talking to a young couple just now, someone says, look, you know, you think about going to get married, you can't think about your own self now. You have a child, you have to think about the child, you have to sacrifice your own needs. You have a wife, you have to think of what she needs and what's going to please and going to help her if you all have to stay happy together. If you all have to stand together and these things. And, you know, we never realize how our lives change. As an individual, as a family, as a church, as a nation, we go through changes. Events, experiences come that we don't care for sometimes. That make us come out different and think and act different after those experiences. Look at the national level, what we are going through this time. Because of what had happened, July the 27th. But they never planned for that. But look how the whole course of everything, administration, the nation, have changed. Events come, things happen. And so it is, when we begin to speak on the new ministry and all those things, we saw how in the church there's a need. We had experience of losing young people. And when there was loss, you could say, there was serpentry, it was not of God. Or you could say, did we do everything that we could to help them? Did we really plan for them? Parents and having children is planted. I didn't tell them that just now too. I said, you know, you're going to have a baby. You're going to buy the booties. You're going to do this. What are you doing? You are making preparations for the life that is coming. Let's look at God. God created the world and prepared the Eden before he brought Adam because he made preparations going to know he's coming. It's a threat in human life. The famine coming, you're going to storm food. Say storm coming, you're going to make preparations. You say a disease wants to break out, you'll get inoculated. No matter what field it is, we try to make preparation to save ourselves from certain things. Now, what happens is that you begin to see this one, you know, not coming out to be what they ought to be. This one developing, but not in the attitude, in the way they should develop. And sometimes things are beyond human ability. Sometimes it brings on birth pains on you to see God more. Sometimes you think your life is settled. As a minister, you may think you'll have a revelation. I have people to preach to. I love God. My life, I have no sin. I'm settled with it, just waiting for Jesus to come. And God may seem to get deeper. But you have no crisis. You have no situation to drive you deeper. So what God does? God gives you any situation to bring it, to drive it deeper. To focus your attention in a certain direction. To cause you to pay emphasis at a certain time on certain things because of the challenge that is rising, that in those areas you need to be fortified to face those challenges. Sometimes because of lack of proper administration in your home, sometimes because of a lack of harmony among parents, sometimes because of a lack of proper planning in your home, sometimes because of neglecting certain responsibilities, things can happen later on. And when it comes, we are unprepared for it. We only think of how unpleasant the situation becomes. Or we try to see the immediate cause. Maybe this happened and that's why this takes place. But sometimes we don't see. We could have avoided that. We could be ready for that. But when that comes, that would not have been able to disorganize, to destroy, to bring into ruin the lives of people, or shatter their home, or destroy the relationship, if we had take time to put it together, to read the word, spend time together, to be so knitted that one day when the pressure comes on the link, you're going to find strong links that can be broken. But if we are short-sighted, we repair only when trouble comes. If we are wise, and we can anticipate the type of trouble we can expect, or the road that we are heading, or the part of that road we are soon coming to, where we need to have certain precautions, we're going to find ourselves looking ahead and preparing. That's a lesson we all learn. Children have the exams come in school. They don't try to wait the week before exam to start to try to learn everything. They're going to find themselves, they can't learn everything at one time, their mind can't relate everything at one time. They're going to find themselves, they should have be a little more systematic. They're going to find that sometimes the price that you have to pay for a little indiscipline, where you want to enjoy this for a satisfaction that you realize there's other important things in your life and not just this one thing. And you will not even be able very soon to enjoy that one thing they're trying to give all the attention to by letting the rest of your life get disorganized. So children in school, they many times are being prepared, they are being trained, they are being, you know, being brought in a certain pattern of learning that would later on apply in your life. And the message leadership, the prophet says, your first teacher you had was your mother. Then your mother brought you to a school teacher. Then the school teacher maybe brought you to your minister. And maybe your minister, from your minister, then you go out and you had a boss. Then, you know, finally you come to die, and then you're going, leaving this world, then you still need a leader still. In life. Your life don't end here. You understand what I'm saying? We need leadership. We must need to know the importance of leadership. We need to really understand that we were made to be led. And we can't redesign ourselves. And we can't make ourselves function under a different law and still succeed. We are designed to self-destruct. Working in any form outside of God's original will for us, we will self-destruct. There is only one way provided by God for everything. You're a businessman, your business will self-destruct if you don't get within that law. A church will self-destruct if you don't stay within that law. A home will self-destruct if you don't stay within that law. Your individual life will self-destruct if you don't stay within that law. In whatever field you're in. We need to understand, we need skill in whatever we're doing. To be unskilled, it means you're very limited. And to have a lot of skill and no understanding means you won't be able to use properly what you have, even though you have it, and it could be a asset to you. God connect them to words in the Bible, still an understanding. For us, Gabriel came to Daniel, I come to give you skill and understanding. Now what? Now, looking at the children, we begin to realize that we could have done a lot to save many of ours. We could have something proper. We could have made a sacrifice here. We say, but we may feel justified. And so, well, we was involved in this, and we had this to the nurse, it was important, and they had enough hearing. But sometimes, there is something extra we can do. It's how much we believe in what we have. It's how much we believe we can do. To a person with real faith, who have found the real source, the supply of God becomes unlimited. I want you to know that. To a person who has faith, who lives in the faith realm, it becomes unlimited. You say, how can you be so sure? The Bible says, ask what you will. Ask anything in my name. Whatsoever you ask. Ask what you will. It's unlimited once in the realm of faith. It's unlimited. Ask that your joys may be full. It's unlimited. It depends on how you see yourself, how much you want to drink. I suppose a little fish, you want to drink sparingly? That's your business. The rat wants to eat a grain from the big granary of Egypt, say, may I eat out the whole thing? That's up to him. He's in the realm of reasoning, not in the realm of faith. Amen. And we started to have this Sunday school and we thought, well, you need to have the children at different levels that they can benefit, they can learn at their level. And we find that's not just a children adult business, but at the adult, we still have a lot of levels too. We have people now coming in. Yeah, I miss it Sunday. It was in my heart to say it. I was going to the car. I said, oh my, I was supposed to make that announcement Sunday. I want to encourage many of you from 16 years down, please come out to the Sunday school. It is going to help you. We don't have a young people service at present, but come out to the Sunday school. It's going to help you. Many of you need that little foundational knowledge of the Bible, of those principles are going to help you. Don't think of it like little children. It's not a little children business. That's why we separate the classes and so on. And we have many who sit right there, even some adults, the little children right there know more than them when it comes to the things of God, the Word of God. Because we have more experience. But we don't just want experience, although we want to know the Word of God too. Because that's what we have to do. When we know the Word of God, we can keep our experience in the Spirit and in the Word. And we don't get detoured with experience. You know what I'm saying? Then we can get deeper in our experience when we know the Word too. Alright. Now, so the Bible here, as I was taking the examples, speaks of still understanding in music. Also speaks of it in work, and it speaks of it in the Word. And I want to look at those areas, because I'm addressing this to the young people, and especially the little boys, who we have a little, some activities planned for them, that the objective is to bring unity, to increase the friendship and more fellowship among the youths in the church. We don't want our little boys and our young people and our children, even adults. We are trying to eradicate the spirit of a group of people fellowshipping at the same address. We are trying to eradicate the spirit of a bunch of people under the same roof. Because you can have a family, they call it a family sometimes, and just a group of people under the same address, living under the same roof. We got a house and a home. Amen. And we'll take unity, we'll take cooperation, we'll take fellowship, we'll take integration. And that's why we even have decided to launch out and have our own premises and the type of surroundings suited to the type of needs that exist amongst us. Whatever you're going into, you are thinking of it as meeting your need, as fulfilling a need. Whatever you do, it must have a fulfillment. If it's intended to be for style, or for show, or for glitter, it don't have nothing to do with purpose and meeting a need. But if it's to meet a need, then it must be designed with a knowledge of what your needs are. So knowing what our needs are, we are thinking of having this and having this and having this done this way and having this done this way. Because we're going to meet the type of needs, and in those needs being met, the achievement will be bringing a greater integration among the people. Well, so it is with the boys. We have some events planned for them in sport and so on. And I want to kind of speak it to show that this is a scriptural thing in the Bible. The Bible don't spend much time on sport because it's doing the plan of redemption. But the Bible has many references to sport. And as I say, an activity, I call it activity because it depends on the purpose you're doing and what you're doing for or what you intend to get out of it and why you're going this and how much emphasis you're going to put into it and where you're going to draw your lines. We're not preparing people for college football here. We're not trying to make international stars of tomorrow. We're not trying to make future World Cup potential and these things. What we're interested in is having a type of activity that boys of a certain age could come together, enjoy together, have interaction among themselves in a Christian atmosphere that will breed friendship, will breed harmony, will breed unity, and will breed fellowship. That's what we are thinking of. To just have that, it means to say, I just want so much of it. The boundaries will be exactly here, and will be done suited, in a manner suited to our particular need. Because it is something being applied to a situation. It is like medication for an existing situation. You know what I'm saying? So, I thought I'd help some of you parents and some of you other members of the church who may have reservations about anything that don't have a Bible reading inside it or so. So it'll kind of help us in those areas. And that's what I want to preach to the young boys here, that they don't get carried away neither. And that's the only thing they enjoy, and when they come to church, everybody's sleeping. And when they come to church, everybody uninterested. And when they get outside, everybody anxious. Then you're missing the mark. You understand what I'm saying? You all understand, boys? You little fellas here, you little boys understand that? You getting that? Amen. Sorry, all of them not out tonight, but you're going to tell their friends. What the minister was saying. Amen. Now, let us turn our Bibles, and I want them boys to the children like they find students. 1 Chronicles 15, verse 22. Let's just find that. After Kings is Chronicles, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, you want, chapter 15, verse 22. And it says here, this is when the ark had come back and their worship was being restored, and you know, there was a revival among the people, and they were setting everything in order. It says, and Chenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. This is one place the Bible uses the word skillful. Now, skillful means expertness. It means practiced ability. It means highly trained. It also means experience. It means facility in a certain type of action. You see somebody can play a guitar, and then somebody well plays. You say, that person's skillful in playing that guitar, boy. You differentiate one as maybe not more talent, but more trained in the field to execute it, the playing, with greater skillfulness, more expertise in it. Then also, 1 Chronicles 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, just look at a few pages. It says, the sons of Reuben and the Gadites and half of the tribe of Manasseh, of valiant men, great courageous, brave men able to bear shield and sword, and to shoot with bow, and skillful in war, were 40 and 4,700 and 70 who went out to the war. America right now and all the other nations have the troops out in the Gulf. And it could be a long, bloody war if it ever have to break out. They want some of the best troops. They want some of the most highly trained men. They want some type of weapons that will be effective in the type of war they're going to fight. Under the conditions, that time you fight war in the sea, that time you fight war in the jungles, that time you fight war in the desert. Well, this is a desert area. None of the trees and mountains to hide behind. It's desert and sand. You have to learn to maneuver them tanks inside the sandstorm. How to keep the sand out of your eyes? How to keep the sand from, you know, messing up your weapon that you can't function in case you're under attack. So even though these men have been trained all the career of being a soldier, yet when they go here, they're not just sitting and waiting for the whistle to blow and say battle starts. They go here and they're having war maneuvers every day to get skillful in fighting in that kind of situation. They were skillful in war. You don't know when a man speaks to go out and that's not going to frighten some people. It has little short fellas. They don't care how tall he is. They don't care how big he is. They don't care how bad you look. They care how loud you talk. Because they tend to show they're more bad than you. Amen. Now, I'm going to get something just now. You're going to see why I'm taking this line. And they realize the courage don't have nothing to do with how tall you are. Look at David and Goliath. He had David had courage. He didn't care how tall Goliath was. People who didn't have courage were seeing the man hide. People who didn't have no valor, who really wasn't real brave, were seeing how much people the man killed, how bad the man is. But a man who was courageous, who was brave, who trusted in God, who got skill from God, who got courage from God, he didn't care whether how big the situation looked. He had confidence that he was skillful. So the Bible said one that was skillful, one that was mighty, one that was valiant, one that was prudent in matters, and the Lord was with him. He wasn't just skillful in playing, he was responsible, prudent in matters. David do so-and-so, go and do it. Bring back a report. This one do so-and-so, he go and do it. Don't waste time and get caught up with something else and forget what you're going to do. He's prudent in matters. He's reliable. He's dependable. He is diligent. He is obedient. What do you use of being skillful and you're obedient? What is being cunning? And you're not prudent in matters. Then the same matters that you're skillful about, you might be lackadaisical about it because you're not willing to apply yourself because you're not skillful, you're not prudent in it. Amen. Now, prudent in matters. Valiant. Sometimes you're outnumbered. Like those valiant men David had. One man kill 800, one man kill 1,000, one man do so and so. You're outnumbered. It seems like a foregone conclusion. You can pop your white flag right away. But some men say, I'll defend this with the last drop of blood in my body. I'm going to stand here and I'll go on fighting. Because I want it cost to die for. Amen? People were skillful. They were skillful in war. Skillful in song. Let's look at something else. 1 Chronicles 28. In this book of Daniel, may God give all of us skill and understanding in the things that we need to be skillful in the understanding we need to have to really execute those skills with precision, that, you know, like it can really do something. It can cause your business to grow. It can cause your life to be more stabilized. It can, you know, it can be an influence to others. We have a lot of people with a lot of skills in the church, but many lack understanding. But God can give you understanding with your skill and help you make you successful. Put some valor inside of you. Make you a little more prudent in your matters. Amen. Something is skillful, but you ain't prudent in matters at all. As I said, you should make a shoe always need fixing. The barber always need a haircut. Why? You're not prudent in matters. You don't want to be that kind of way. See? First Chronicles 28, verse 21. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee. Did Solomon, David encouraging Solomon to build a temple? And there shall be with thee for all man of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any man of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. David was telling him, you're going to build a building, you're going to need skillful men. He said, but don't be afraid. All them skillful men, God's going to move upon them. But David is looking back at maybe at Moses when he's building the tabernacle and saw how God anointed men with skill. So he knew he was going to move it from the tabernacle to a temple. And he knew that God is an unchanging God. And that the same God who gives skillful men back here will give skillful men here. Amen. So he's encouraging Solomon with those words of advice. In 2 Chronicles 2, verse 14. Amen. Verse 14. The son of a woman, this is Huram now. Who was a king of Tyre, and he was helping Solomon because he's a good friend of David, Solomon's father, and he knew what he was going to do. So, verse 13, he said, "Now I have sent a skillful man endued with understanding of Hiram my father, and the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan. And his father was a man of Tyre, skillful to work in gold and in silver and brass, in iron and stone and timber and in purple and in blue and in fine linen and in crimson, multicraft. Also to engrave any man of engraving and to devise every device which he shall put to him. And thy skillful men and David and with the skillful men of my lord David thy father." He says, "I have some skillful men here. I'm going to send them over to put to the skillful men your father have, and you are bound to get that job done." Y'all could build the hall of justice if y'all want. When you all finish there. Amen. You're going to pool the resources together. There'll be no limits to your achievements. Amen. Because it'll be a thing being led by skillful men, influenced by skillful men, and they're skillful in all variety of ways. Cunning, skillful, expertise, practice ability, highly trained, efficient. So here we have three different examples of God using skill with news, using skill with war, using skill with work. But many times we talk about skill, we also talk about skill in sport. But that's a very skillful person, very skillful player, very imaginative player, very cunning, you know, very talented. See? And say the highly developed person. See, you know, he could explode on a field, he could change a game, he could command a situation. He's not intimidated by the opposition. He's brave, his courage, his balance. You put him to hold a position, he's prudent in matters. He's responsible, he's going to man that post. Nothing going to distract him. Amen. Nothing got come to them, he's going to defend it down to the last drop of perspiration, last ounce of strength. Amen. Well, he's going to do it wholeheartedly. Now, God gives skill and understanding. Because you see, the Bible says David gave us, I come to give you skill and understanding. The Bible says God gave Daniel skill and wisdom and all learning. Then also, seeing that God gives these skills, he gives understanding with it, because he knows that if you give a man a lot of skill to do a lot of things, he might be used to do things a lot of for other people. Who just employ those skills, but direct him how to use it for their purpose. And because when it comes to his own self, he can't direct his own skills for his own purpose and his own benefit. So he has these skills, but he can't do nothing himself. But a man can come and say, I want this done in certain sort of time, and I want it done this way, and don't do that way at all. And what the man is doing, the man is directing his skills in. Oh, it makes something wonderful. Then the man leave him on his own. He still has his skill, he still wants to take it away. But then he got the understanding to use it. It was the man understanding using his skill. But when God can give you understanding with your skill, how much great it is. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of understanding in what you're doing? Sure. Because God in the Bible has done that. He's the same yesterday and forever. You maybe don't need healing tonight, but you may need understanding. And that understanding will bring healing to your soul. You may find yourself not in, being brought and influenced into all kind of situations that have you depressed, that you were formerly led into because you were void of understanding. But no understanding might be able to keep you out of certain things. You may talk, some of you don't die of business death already. You may still have business life left in you. Some of you enter a business crash, die of business debt, and have a business funeral. And have entered the business corruption, and only the grace of God can give you a business resurrection. Amen. Sure. But the grace of God is more than able. The power of the Holy Spirit, he can give life. The kind of life you want is the life God gives. If you want a certain life to make your little project, your little situation, whether your home, your children, whatever it is, for your family, for your own self, to work and succeed, you want God life. You want to run by God power. You want to run by God energy. Because then it means it would have no shortage. It could handle any situation. It wouldn't be turned back by no circumstances. Is that right? Yes. Is there a way to be tapping to God? Remember when God is God of Israel? God is God of Israel in war. God is God of Israel in church. God is God of Israel in providing food. God is God of Israel in clothing them. God is God of Israel in the economy. Is that right? Yes. God wasn't God of Israel only tabernacle in the wilderness, you know. God said, I'll make your bread basket go out, and you'll have economic problems if you disobey me. I'll still make your land into desert and put in the famine and put in the bad thing. You may have a beg from your neighbors and them who is heathens and even humble you if you don't obey me. Is that right? Sure. But we are spiritual to that. And the God we're talking about, this Revelation 10:1, this God who comes on the service with that open book, that God we're talking about, He's God over everything. And He knows everything. He knows all things. And He made a way and laid out in the Word for us to do everything, to raise your children, to run the business. Because the part which spoke to the messenger that I is, that first age, laying on that foundation, Revelation, part it was that. Man, he said, you were working, you were eating, you wasn't an infidel. He said, you're living off a dole and bombing and begging. You said, you wasn't an infidel. He said, it's a stumbling block to the faith. Is that right? Sure. Then you know it had men of business talents, but they're lazy because Jesus come and tell the same parable. When one man could have go out and get two more for his two, and he buried it and have it here. Slothful? Did you come a slothful servant? Thou slothful unprofitable servant? Then Paul come up and said, don't be slothful in business. Is that right? He giveth bread to the eater and seed to the sower. And he showed the whole cycle right here. Every economy upon the face of the earth is based on that principle right here. Bread to the eater and seed to the sower. That is the strength of every economy right here. Don't work, you don't eat. But sometimes people don't know what to do. They need to have the open to see avenues to do things, to find ways and means. They need wisdom. They need guidance of the Holy Spirit. They need to find the King God who to unlock them doors that are closed. Your door could be a financial door. Your door could be a health door. Your door could be different doors. You may have that open door to read and pray, and a locked door to health. Because all of them praying, they ain't getting the key to unlock that door. You know what I'm saying? You want other ideas? But it's not working. You need to find a business key to work to open the business door. It's about key for that door. It's in the Word, friends. We come on the 7th and the 7th times. We know what that is. You are the seventh time wrapped in faith to create, and you almost. You understand what I'm saying? You see, many of us, I think, we see the gospel, Peter and Paul and Mary, and I think, and Lazarus, and the rapture come in, and that's where we see the gospel. And then we want the privilege of the life after that. So all we have to show is some knowledge of certain subjects. But as far as life and influence and what we're doing and what we are achieving and what we are able to do and what we are possessing and what we are conquering and what we are subduing and what doors we are opening and, you know, is missing. Why? Because somehow we can't utilize, harness the power and use it. And the promise of the Holy Ghost is here with all the power. But you're going to take faith to move that fit into Revelation. How to get that power that's here? He said, but it's governed by a law. And you don't holler, holler, holler to get to work. No! You find the law. Alright, so we do the law here. That's what I'm dealing with. To achieve spiritual things, we write through the laws. To achieve scientific things, we write scientific laws. So, God gives skills. We see the Bible, God to give skills in any field. Who gave him the skills to build temple? God. Who gave him the skills to fight the battles? God. Who gave him the skills to worship? God. So in building, in industry, God gave him skills. In war, in fighting, God gave him skills. In worship, God gave him skills. In learning, God gave him skills. God wants to endure. That's what happens if any man lack wisdom. Let him ask of God. Lord, how to do this? What's your way to be successful with this, Lord? What are the principles? What am I doing wrong, Lord? Where is my current wrong enough? What must I do, Lord? Show it to me in the Word. He'll show it to us.
Now, there are many references in the Bible concerning sporting events. Because I guarantee you, the enemy used his bow and arrow for wartime alone. That was the Israelites much of men to sling. But that sling, that stone, as a hair breadth, as much paces away. Back then, I'm going to be stores, going to buy turkey, going to buy. You want turkey, go hunt a turkey. You want some meat, you go hunt the meat. That is the society, because it was all out there, those conservationists, the land had plenty, and they go and they hunt it. And hunting was one of the main sports. Hunting is a sport today still. Archery. David and Jonathan, out there, just, one of them was shooting, they wasn't hunting, and neither were they in war. And he didn't, you just shoot the arrow in a certain place, and I go and hide here and different things. Why? Because they had a feast, they had their weapons and everything else, and they did as well target shooting. Because they train that skill, they develop that skill. It is used for war only when they have to defend their life, defend the country, defend their heritage. They use it, but rarely it was a skill to help them to live. Also, they had a horse riding with a Briton they had out there. Jehu was a master in that. Sure. Bible talking about how the driving of Jehu, the chariots and so on. It was something that was required great skill, horsemanship. Because they had footmen and horsemen. And that's some men, maybe they follow the horse every time. They say, you born to be a footman. You just can't seem to master the horsemanship. Because they're just taking a stroll, is horsemen who train for battle. You know, you don't like riding, you don't like horsemanship. You ain't forcing the army to ride a horse. You don't like it. You think a man would never ride a horse when he's going to war? They have their horses, they're riding, they go horseback riding, they enjoy that. It was thinking of enjoyment they did. You read the history of the Israelites, that many things they did. And you know, seeing them that we have kind of regimented our children to a great extent that is not too good for them. And we have reason to do it, which we feel justified because we know the kind of influence sometimes they could pick up getting out the air in certain places like Barabam telling the girl, if you're honey, nothing on the basketball court, you're a Christian anyway. God Paul the transform. So you go out there and it is a swear, this and that, daddy knows you're going to hear those things. But what's she going to do now? Now, you know, either some children have the mentality. They can go anywhere. They'll be influenced. But not everybody can do that. Not everybody have that. 90% who think you have it don't have it. Because people like to think of themselves more highly than the other thing, like to think they can do this, like to think they can do that, because they don't want to be seen as, I can't do this, and I can't do that. And a child ought not to have no complex when they can't do what they can do. Because doing one thing don't make you a better person than another person. And some children have late development. You know what people think I was a no good bunk? For failure in life. You know, people are still in some smart man, just like I've been a smart man like all this. And I guarantee you, there are few people that didn't have favor in God like me. Yes. Now, you may think that's something funny. As a Christian, we don't understand it right how I say. Is there anybody who has more favor in the world than the bride? Is that somebody who married to Jesus Christ have more favor than who married to Jesus Christ? Somebody who are God name and God life, arm of heaven and God? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But what's our problem? He said, living below God, given privilege. It's the way you see yourself. When somebody has seen themselves a certain way, you don't have to live in their bondage. If God liberates you, you have to live in your liberty that God has given you. That's why they don't stand before a man who has faith. If a man has faith to go in the rapture, don't stand before him and say, we can't have our faith yet. Let the man go. Say, Lord, help me. Give me that kind of faith. That's what I need.
We can do many things to have it. We can have a birthday party. We can have a nice eat and drink for them and get them all together and let them laugh at one another. But it's a way that children could express themselves much better in a more enjoyable way when they relate to one another. When they do things together that they can enjoy in a certain type of atmosphere. But I say, we know the boundaries. We know the boundaries between sin and faith. See? We know what is too close to the world and we know when something is getting too strong. Because in the end, I'll tell you something. The world today that we're living in, I think about that today. You see, life, school, work, in general, is a very competitive atmosphere. When a person again in the work, I guarantee that 50 person that job there, he's a Christian, and they're obsessed with the world economic situation, they're going to try to outdo you, victimize you, push you, step over you, to get that position, it means a little more money. It means a little more privilege. It's competitive. And sometimes you saw up a nice, you dainty, with the cellophane paper all the way still in your bag. You know? And you go there, and they bump and they push and they step on you. And you can't live in that world. It's too rough for you, too competitive for you. And you start to think you're a failure in life. You can't fit in. And you have a bad experience, they don't relate to one another out there. And sometimes you feel so humiliated, you can't tell nobody about your humiliation. So you try to avoid confrontation with those who humiliate you, and then you can't find, you know, someone to let out how you feel. And how you was hurt. Someone who will understand you and help you to give you the courage to go back inside of there and succeed. This time you may have what it takes to succeed. And I was thinking, say, you know, school is so competitive. Work is so competitive. Life and the business world and everything is so competitive. It's like sharks who trying to devour who. It's survival of the fittest. And the whole world today has become a very competitive place. A person who dropped from the mother's womb growing up is meeting a cruel, cold, ruthless, deceitful world out there. And sometimes they are grown up with such innocence, they don't understand what is out there. They don't understand what the world and the society have been deteriorated into. That's why they don't even understand God's judgment. And that how God has already marked the world for judgment. If we could see through God's eyes, we would see that God was not unjust. God was totally long-suffering before he tell that prophet to up that rock. Judgment will start in the earth now. Totally long-suffering. But we may look and still see a lovely world. And sometimes, children who have to face it, and who have to be in it, they find themselves disappointed. In school, this one hit them, this one pushed them, like, you know, my little girl come to me the other day and say, Daddy, you know what? That's where she's gone. A girl pushed me down in school, and she went bruise and a bruise here. And like, I remember the push come back, the tears when it come to again. So, you know, I hold on to that comfort. I say, don't mind that, honey, don't mind that. I say, you know, maybe she's bumps the spite. And, you know, I say, maybe she, I said, just running, playing, and then she said, yes. I said, she's the same thing, just playing, it didn't do the spite me. And then you got to realize sometimes how fragile children growing up and sometimes being kept unexposed to a lot of things can become. Or children who have not been taught what to expect and how to deal with certain things when they're confronted with it. So they find themselves unprepared and it just shatters them. And they can't cope with it. So then they say, I don't like school. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to do this. I don't want to. And so they're not in school. They love to learn. They love to know new things. They love to do, but they can't cope with the situation out here. They can't handle the competition out there. They can't understand the brutality of others. Because the people they interact with, everybody's God bless you and Tan, I'll be praying for you and this and that and mommy love you and daddy love you and so on. They're all sheltered and protected. And then they go something that's already cocked them at the first instance before they even could explain something. Somebody curse them or something or do them something and then they face with that. Then the rest laugh at them and they feel humiliated. And if they're not assisted at those times, they could degenerate into cowards. They could just start to be robots, go into a shell, build complexes, and these things. And some of us have been the victim of those things. We grow up bigger inside of us. We don't want to come out here still. We can't even let people. We can't handle atmospheres. We can't handle situations. Why? Because in our upbringing, we were not prepared for the things that we face now in life. And even though we come to the gospel, not having the insight, and not understanding the word, and not understanding the world, and only knowing it in a religious form, we still can't deal with it. Because we need to know by revelation. We need to be strengthened by the word. We need to be prepared to deal with those things outside here. To know that through God we can do all things. Why did Paul talk about his hardships and being beaten and his imprisonment and his determined famines and fasting and shipwreck? And he showed that with Christ in your life, you can succeed regardless of circumstances. Not to be no vegetable. Live in no big, like a big marshmallow. You're a big marshmallow in church and you know. Christianity is a rugged business. So I thought it was good. You know, it's good. I felt dealt with me, you know, let me think of it. You know, sport and activity that is of a competitive nature. It is a suitable situation that has the right kind of conditions to develop and train children to be better equipped to face the conditions that they meet in daily life. Understand me? It's not the sport so much for them. The activity is like only an experiment. It's only a situation. Because out there, you're going to see who's selfish. You're going to see who likes self-glorification. You're going to see who quick to get vexed. You see who quick to accept failure. It all shows the personalities. You see who quick to get discouraged. You see who will fight to the end. It will show up in the personality. And then when you know certain things and certain traits in children's lives that can only come out and be visible before your eyes under certain conditions that is designed to bring it out, could you know how to minister to some of them? Because you know where the lacking is. You know why they're failing in life. You know why they can't progress as they should. You know why they have certain drawbacks. You know where they're weak. And at the time they get pressure in that area, they give up. You see it. And spiritually, it happens to all of us. And that is what God gives us our experiences for. To discover them place in our lives that we know how to pray and what to pray for. Because it's a very competitive world. And anything that is competitive, that is a fight, that exerts a certain amount of willpower and display a certain amount of intelligence, and that's going to take a certain amount of endurance, is going to develop those things within them. Sure, as boys, they're full of energy, they're gonna love to play. Right now, all they think about is playing. They're not thinking about these things. We think about those things for them. But they're not thinking about it in that way at all. They're just thinking and they go back in church and tell who score and who shake who and who do this and who do that. And they think of it at that level. And they won't even understand why they fail and why they're sitting drawbacks. They won't understand it. Because they're still in the age of being trained up in the way that they should go. They're not even trained to start to look inward yet. It'll take the spirit in your life to make you look inward. It's not big old people who ain't started to look inward yet. I realize the problem is right inward here. It is growth in the Holy Spirit. They shape you to start to think. Maybe something I didn't do right. Maybe something that, you know, I missed, that God has shown me this was going to happen. Maybe I need to take inventory. Maybe I didn't apply the word correctly. You know what I'm saying? So, those boys here, we are hoping that it would be something that the interaction among one another, the fellowship, the unity, because the whole objective is for fellowship, for unity, and for friendship. But if among them, we have, when they come in the house of God and the Sunday school teacher say, you're going to sing, My Lord Deliver Daniel. Everybody's very happy and enthused. I want to sing and worship God. And because David, when he was playing, he was playing skillful. When he's hunting, he was hunting. When he's doing it, you know. When he's worshiping, dancing before the ark, he was dancing with all his might. You know what I'm saying? Now, Esau was very skillful in hunting. He's a great sportsman. When he just had a run, so run behind a deer or something, let me tell you. That the terror in that deer. When he started to hunt and track that animal and the viciousness that he will hunt with. And the cunningness, rather, you're a skillful hunter. No, I put the middle of the mighty hunter, do a little reading on some hunting and what hunting entails, and there's a contest between the hunter and the animal, and how the animal, you know, has the edge, because the animal is in its own environment. And that's why guns and weapons are invented to give the kind of balance, you know, the competition between the hunter and the animal. Because if the hunter doesn't have no guns, he'd never be able to catch the animal no time. That's why in even primitive times, they had a bow and arrow, they had something there, you know, maybe a rock, maybe a slingshot or something that they could use in hunting to kind of help them compete with the animal at a distance to sling the rock or throw the spear or shoot the bow and arrow or something like that. And when you're going to hunt and you learn to shoot, a man who's going to hunt, like the prophet, they say when you get on that range there, he will shoot and you pop that target, and unless you hit that bullseye through the eye, the thing every time, until even one, I think, and they had them, the president of the shooting gallery signed it, that never a man had hit them thing about 10 times straight through the same hole. Well, he loved it. He loved this sport. Well, we are hunting in a big game trainer because we are the kind of territory fit. And then you are the kind of game to really say who's a real skillful hunter or not. But in this environment, there are other type of sport that you exercise that is clean and nice, that you can do and enjoy. And it brings out the things in you because you still need the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, you'll be surprised at the things the Holy Spirit wants to show you and to teach you. Holy Spirit can teach you in any situation. Holy Spirit will use anything to give you a lesson. And, you know, many of the boys that we have here trying to help them, and not to be neglecting the guilds, we have to do something for our guilds too. And try to help them and let them enjoy themselves too and let them meet one another and know one another and in the way, because our children, we're not carrying on the hour work to do and go and, you know, make sure that they study for their work, and the world don't have them things in it. The world entails certain things, and for us to really win their friendship, grow them up in a way that they can know that when the things of God is so important, and they can understand us that we are not fanatics. There's many, many young people who have grown up in the message, and some right here in the assembly, who see the parents as fanatics. And some parents have lost the influence over some of the children because they saw mommy was a fanatic in the message. Daddy was a fanatic in the message. Who was in a limb and seen things in a radical way and never had a balance. And they were forced to be subjected to fanatical things, fanatical ideas. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we don't know the pain that that is for children. Now we don't know the resistance children put up when they see a lot of their life have been missed. And then they will spend the rest of their life trying to get a hold of and enjoy what if they had been brought up to the right channel when it's time to weigh out those things, they weigh it out. You think anybody can get me back to be a sporting fanatic? You think anybody can get me back to what I trained to run 100 and so much minutes and to do this? You think anybody can influence me to do that? Anybody can convince me of that? I grow that! I have better uses and more other things to use my energy for now. Mentally, I will still enjoy it and be amused by it. But I'm not going to indulge and participate and spend time and sacrifice for it. But we have outgrown it. And the same way, at our age, you'll grow those things and it will mean no more to you. Because you know it was for a time and season. Because your intellect have developed to greater things. Different type of things hold your interest now. Because you come the right way. It's like a mother nursing a child. It's not a day she's weaned that child. And when she weaned that child from that breast, she could put that child in that breast. That child don't want that breast no more. You want a cup? Give me a cup, man. Put some ice in it and let me shake my juice. You know what I'm saying? Well, the same way, when people connect to certain things, and that's why what happened many times, it takes such intelligence that only the Holy Spirit could give to be a real parent. It takes sacrifice to be a parent. A lot of people say, I sacrifice to buy the shoe. I sacrifice to buy that suit for you. I sacrifice to get a dress and so on and so on. But they're not sacrificing the self. So all the sacrifices they make was just physical. For the physical needs and the interest of the child at the time was for something else and what they see they sacrifice for. But they look at all what they do. They never look to see the child happy if that met the need or if that was the real need they should have sacrificed for. And some parents really should not be brought up. The child is ungrateful to even say and question the sacrifice that they have sacrificed. You know what I'm saying? But friends, let me tell you. Let me tell you. There's nothing greater than the Holy Spirit in your life. Nothing greater than that. And those children, when they're wrong, Holy Ghost, little people, there's no. When they're dealt with by Holy Ghost, people, there's no. They feel the Holy Spirit. They may not know it on the science in a way to identify the evidence and all the different things, but they know it's something else there. It speaks to their heart, it convicts them, it holds their attention. It can get them happy, you can deal with them in a way, you're gonna win the confidence. It's a way. The time when they want comfort, the Holy Spirit put to discern. They need a little comfort, they need a little hug up, they need a little chain up. And you can do it because the Holy Ghost is there. When they want to play with them, you can play with them. And they know that the Holy Ghost is there. They appreciate that. Because that's what they're pulling on you for the time. And you have the attention, you have the support, because they're getting from you what they want at the time. And what they're asking for was not sinful. It was going to make them happy. And when they get happy, you the ones who contribute to their happiness, then you have the confidence willingly. They want to ask them or kind of prove to them, they should do this. You need to walk and they're following you. And, you know, seeing that we want to do something for them, we have this space up there. We had asked the parents to be involved and to participate in the Sunday school. We asked them to participate in these things. And I think we had some of the brothers to ask them to attend when the children is participating. That the children could know they have the mom and dad support and, you know, it's something to help them and to make them happy, and somehow we're going to end up enjoying too. by seeing them happy, because we are happy when they're happy. We are happy when they stay around us. See? And then it gives us a good chance to see things in them that we don't see when they play outside, we in the house. Or when they're going to go to play and we home. And we don't see. And then you know why they'll be so quickly discouraged. Or why their feelings get hurt so quick. Or why they can't persevere. And then sometimes you even see some of those things, they get it from you. And then you see the places in their lives where you're failing to reach. And how limited your communication is with them. Because if your communication is of a certain depth, they'll have development in some of them areas, then they'll have no development. So then you know now the things that kind of give themselves confidence that they can do this, they can do that. You know, give them a positive attitude instead of a negative. Nobody like me, nobody care for me, I can't do nothing, I can't fit in, they laugh at me. You know, to deliver them from those things. Because to see them develop, what we are interested in is real child development. To see them develop into fine young men and fine young women. If they could see the Bible, David, skillful in hunting. Esau was so skillful in hunting, but you know what happened? He rejected the things of God. He just lived for the sport. Hunting was his life. Sport was his life. When he come back with them trophies, he laughed. Look at Jacob. Give Jacob all his sissy fatigue. Look at you, sissy. You can't do this, Jacob. Competing. Look at you, Jacob. You're always home on your wrong mommy dress. Give the boom and the place. Let's wash up the ways. A man has to go out there and face the wire. You know. Peer pressure, they call it. They say most of the crimes taking place today, elder boys putting peer pressure upon the younger one, hearing them, do this, do that. Humiliating in front of a crowd, in front of a guild, somebody that they want to kind of maybe, you know, show a little manliness around. And then somebody else come to kind of put them down and use right there. Devil knows the things that get them, you know. Just the place where we're going to hurt them most. Just the time to humiliate them in front of the crowd. And that's how the devil breaks the spirit. Breaks it, and push you inward and make you an introvert. Some of us get big, we can't communicate with people. Then put the cushions out. We have a situation, two brothers, we're staying together. Like we wasn't talking to one another or something, so it's going to cause some friction. When I hear that, I know it's two lovely boys. They love one another. We are good friends. It's just that they're growing up and the development. Sometimes I heard that. I could see the growth and the development. Didn't grow up in a home and family and, you know, where family interaction and sharing and doing things together. So it's a complex in there. Something lacking in there. Now when, you know, they have nothing to communicate. But get other people around each other, they all communicate together. Get one who can start a talk and pull the interest from the rest and get them involved. You see everybody get participated. Put two non-starters on their own. And they watch, they steer them, you've got a steering contest. Sure. You see, we let me tell you, our Christian life, it needs so much. We so need to understand people and relate to one another. We have people inside here who can be real friends, love one another, nice. Participate, but in church they don't want to come out and participate. This one going to say that about them. This one going to say that. This one going to do this. This one going to do the other. See? They have the critics there, and from the other critics, they lose all nerve to do anything. They can't do it no more. They have a pen in their hand and try to do it, and they're fidgeting around and everything else. Why? They lack the power to rise above that. It's not how you see me, it's how God see me. They don't have that extra thing to raise them there. You ain't to correct my book, it's God will correct my book. Who is you anyway? You guys can correct your own book, you don't correct mine? Amen. You see, they need to get there, but they don't halfway take. No, some people know, you see, they learn to fight for everything in life. The further they get there, the crowd, people push them for something, and after checking and talking, when they like the talk, they cut out with it, they say, oh God, everybody to fight for everything. They push everybody back. And they get right inside of here. They say, come on, line up here, man. Have some better order than that. Take me to that jump, you know. Then they go right to the front. You see? Now, they know the ropes. They know how to move. They know how to move around situations. They are Christian, but nobody's going to bully them. And nobody's going to kind of, you know, intimidate them and rough them up. They're not going to go there and be obnoxious now. They're not going to go there and kind of fight back. Because they're harmless like doves. But they have such wisdom in being harmless that it repels. That even the very people who want to come to intimidate them, they think twice before they come among them. Because they can turn back the sarcasm right back upon the people in a very nice way. See, and then you see who really need the help. But Jesus is that way, you know. They come in the house and they trap him and tie him up and trap him in his speech and everything. And when he done with them, they have to hang their head and walk out, you know. Sure. But he turned what they bring right back upon them. Because he had wit. He was quick. He was smart. He can read situations, he can discern the spirit, he can check the motive, he can see the angles that come out to put him under pressure, you know the indirect attacks and all them different things. So he can handle them things. Now some of us have fallen victim on it and just get retarded. We get, you know, like we have, like we are under rehabilitation or something after a while. We become invalids. May God help us. Because young boys are supposed to go out there, do their best. No, God is there with them to give them skill. Young girls, because that they don't have to be put under and make them feel as no granny and push back there and kind of be insulted by some Jezebel who just trying to make them feel that, you know, they have no joy and they're like a big, you know, sour. Probably more sour than a bump on a pickle, you know. You're like a wart on a log or something, you can't enjoy yourself, you can't do nothing at all. You know, all you can do is like go to church like. Look at the, we are no church mouse, you know. We are no church mouse. We're not going to heaven because we'll be in church every day. Christianity is not dependent on how much time we come to church. It's the world living inside of us. And wherever we are, the world inside of us, our atmosphere, the love, the grace of God flowing from us, the power of God in our lives, the willingness to work and to have the cheerfulness to lift out our spirits. Amen. Wherever we are, we change the atmosphere because there is a power inside of us. We are like that lily to brighten up the place, give some beauty to the surroundings, wherever we are. That the passerby could come and get a whiff off of our fragrance that we draw from the Holy Spirit. So, God put us there to be a light, to be a testimony. Remember the prophet talk about John Cartwright? The preacher back there when they were going to have the revival, and he walked in, he went to the barn, the tongue bully come and said, no, but don't have the revival, they're going to whip me first. He said, oh, that's what the condition is? Sure. He dropped down the brush, he dusted his hands off, he painted the place, he went, put a good look in him, and come back, and preach the revival. And the man got saved. Sure. If that way, take shower, you do that, amen. Put them, see, by the grace of God. I mean, it all has got to be physical. It all has got to be physical. There's many ways you can put a good licking on a person. A good love licking, amen. By the grace of God, sure. See, I think, you know, we lack a lot of cheerfulness. We lack a lot of enthusiasm. And, you know, we get so, we always want to know, is this right? How to do this? I don't know. It just, the Bible said, don't be ought to be a Christian. The third pull is be yourself. Just let the Holy Ghost take you over. Just surrender to the Holy Ghost. Just get more of the Holy Ghost in your life. Let me tell you go to sweat. You got a real good sweat. I don't get sweat outside the field. I don't get sweat in church too. Amen. You put everything inside of me to get here. Yes, sir. When you work hard. When you play hard. When you pray hard too. Yeah. Amen. Sure. It's a time and a place for everything. Time to work, time to play, and time to praise God too. Yeah. Sure. your work in Tamil and trade in Tamil. I can't come to church because, you know, I'm much. Yeah, what much? Yeah, I'm much against the devil in church. Come on, man. We need you on the team by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
Sport is a powerful weapon. Nations use it. Where politics fail, where big summits and people at the table fail to agree on policy and ideologies, where cultural barriers separate people, sport is bringing relationships between nations. Every time we hear the West Indies, we get feel a certain way. West Indies against Australia, West Indies against England. You feel a certain way, why? Because when the West Indies, that general. But it's something to unite a region. Because they see the power of it. You know why? People want to share together. People's basic nature is want to root them together. It's politics and ideology and the separate people. It's not like a denomination, that's separate people. But the church really was to share, had all things in common, regardless of race, creed, culture, color, everything. Regardless of that, people must be one in Christ. Amen. But then interpretations come, divisions come, ideologies come, politically, religiously, everything come, and wars start. But the world have recognized the power of things that cause people to interact. Things that cause people to get in an atmosphere where they can exhibit certain talents, certain potential, certain skills. They can do it in a way for the upliftment of others. They can do it, you know, to really work together. People admire people and win their friendship. I remember that certain brothers here, you know, until they got in the land and they really begin to work and show the skill that they had, they begin to get a certain respect. They begin to show the willingness, they begin to show the skill. Because in that area, they can display the competence. In another area, there might be a nobody. But in that area, there is somebody. And kind of somebody, they stamp the importance. They attract attention because they show that there is something that they possess that makes them unique, makes them different. And that's where people get confidence. People get confidence in the things that they know they can do. Not that they can't do. Where you know you can't do, you have fear. It's normal for you to have fear, because why? It's going to depend upon that you don't have the ability. See? And except God don't come in there, then you have a problem. That's why we need God's ability, and we depend upon God's ability. We have confidence when God is wrong, because we know God has all ability. God don't lack no ability. See, God is more than able. Amen? Oh my, time is up. That's one of the things I want to go into along this line, but I'm wondering whether it would be too appropriate here, I think. But I wanted to speak here for some of these children to see how Daniel in the Bible purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. David purposed in his heart. Let us read also in Psalms 101 as it goes. And anything that you're going to do, children, you must purpose in your heart. Success or failure is going to depend upon how purposed you are in your heart. It's going to determine what type of effort you're going to put out. It's going to determine what type of sacrifice you're going to make to succeed. And whether it's in school, whether it's in sport, whether it's in things of God, whether it's in your trials, in your testings, in your problems, what you yield to. If you purpose not, I will not defile myself, you will not defile yourself. Many people who have ended up being defiled was people who didn't purpose themselves. Young people remember my message in the Young People's Service on defile Dinah. Because she never purposed in her heart that she wouldn't defile herself. If Dinah had purposed that in her heart, she wouldn't get defiled. But you see, sometimes it's the place we want to take chances. It's the things we're going to unprepared. It's the things that we don't recognize how dangerous it could be and how detrimental it could be for us. Daniel was so skillful in his lessons. He had skill and understanding in all learning. David was so skillful in playing, cunning, great ability, prudent in matters. Esau, so skillful in the sport. But the difference between about Esau was, it was all sport and no God. And when the time for the birthright come, Esau reject the birthright and God reject Esau. So he ended up being a good sportsman, had a good sports history. A lot of people talk about how good he was in sports, but he ended up in the lake of fire. But David is still playing his harp tonight. And all through eternity, he'll play his harp and show his skill. And Daniel, God told him in the chapter 12, you will stand in your lot. Don't worry, Daniel. Go to rest. On that day, you will stand in your lot. He's going to come up again in the resurrection. Because he had purpose. He was very skillful. Become an expert. In all his learning and schooling, in his wisdom, as a counselor, as a prime minister. Third, most powerful in the time of Babylon. First, under Darius. Great man of great authority. But watch him. He always took time to pray. He knew his secret. He knew his skill. He knew his learning. He knew his ability. He knew the supply that will not run out was coming from God. And he kept connected to God. Don't be a Esau tonight. Be a Daniel. Be a David. Daniel, purpose in his heart. David, purpose in his heart. But Esau, all he was, all could be said about him, he was just skillful in sport. I sure none of you young boys and young girls just want to be skillful in sport or skillful in learning or skillful in something like that. You want to know you have eternal life at the end. There'll be a lot of great sportsmen in heaven. Let me tell you that. You're going to meet all them men who are going to sling a stone at a hair breadth, 300 paces away. Southpaws they were, all of them, the Bible says. You're going to meet them who are skillful in horseback riding up there. Great hunters, even like the prophet we had here in this day, who walked 50 miles a day and rubbed their mongrel to get red in the face. We never even went up and climbed the Catalina Mountains to the height. We just went up to where the sword was in them places. And the first time we went there, many of us, in 79, 11 years ago, still had a good bit of youth left in us. And we climbed a little part of that mountain. I don't want to call names here tonight. But some of us, I will say us, though I was not in that position, who was crawling on the back, who was so afraid to walk down for fear of falling. I remember when I took my wife there after she lost the baby in 1981. Up there. She started crying. She said, he's up here, bring me, you see the same thing now. She started crying. Because she looked down to the height. Rugged mountain, just a little thin narrow trail, just for one person to meet to walk. And that's not the whole lot like trees with cactus all around you. Rugged mountains. And then have somebody hunting in that kind of terrain. Wild hogs will charge at you when they feel cornered and they get dangerous. Will kill you in an instant. And someone who would hunt, would go into Africa to hunt the big yellow mane lion. Down there when they roar, you see the rocks fall, not like in the zoo. Sport for sport! You talk about sport! A man take a whole hunting trip to go for sport! He loves sport. Prophet didn't love it. It was in his blood. Hunting fish. He said, God didn't count time in a man fishing. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you, when
When you die in the presence of God, can we take that hat off? And under the conviction, the purpose in his heart, David had to go up in that mountain and see what bread or water for 21 days until God talked to me. I'm willing to wait there until I hear, thus said the Lord from God. And when come to stand for the word and all kind of popularity and fame and money being offered him, he refused to take it to stay true to the gospel. Is that right? He was no fanatic. He was a man. He could enjoy himself. He could enjoy himself with his children. He could enjoy himself with his people. He said, me and Charlie and them. He says, you know what, I'm coming on to August for vacation. We're going to go down there. It's Portsmouth Holy Congregation. We're going to laugh. And you see the congregation laughs. In parenthesis. And Brother Ramsey says, don't think I'm just going to be school hunting alone. Because they all know he means school hunting with the brothers. They love it. You understand what I mean? There are a lot of things you can do. But don't never put them things before God. Know that those things have their place. Know those things can be used for joy. Know those things have its boundaries. And know that anything, even eating food that is good, you eat too much and you abuse it. You move from enjoyment to abuse. And you become a glutton and become sin in the eyes of God. Anything that is abused become wrong. Balance. That is to be sober. To have your correct balance. Each thing demand a certain amount of emphasis and don't give it more than it needs. And any disciplined person will always have their priorities right. When time comes for something to be done, as much as they pull the air, you know that little test, you time to shake that off. It's time to finish. I need it somewhere else. I have something else to do. When you can see the life in you being lived out in these places, you know you are bringing your body in obedience to the word. So it says, be a Daniel tonight. You're going to close with Psalm. Be a David, but don't be an Esau. Daniel and David, they had this sport. They had this skill in learning. They had this skill in sport. They had this skill in playing music and a lot of different things. They had understanding, prudent in matters, brave, valiant, skillful in war. But the purpose in their heart was not going to defile themselves. When coming to God, they knew that they were the tabernacle of the living God. They don't want to go into idolatry. They want to go and pick up sport in idols and go into idolatry. And start to idolize. And start to make. When you start to fall in love with something, you start to like it so much. And start to influence you. Something in your flesh just wants that to be right in every way. This man says so and so, even though it off the word, you kind of want to wish he didn't even say it. You have to know that sinners outside here. They dominate this type of world. Many times we may do something and we may let bring that right into what we're doing when that must not come into what we're doing. That must not overtake what we're doing. That must not become the pattern of what we're doing. What we are doing is suited to meet certain needs and to bring development of certain things and to uncover certain things that we know why we saw it fit to have certain type of experiments of activity where that could be a blessing if used in the correct way. And think of it on a positive side. And do it in a positive way. And enjoy. Don't do it with a stick. Like, do it and enjoy it. Get in the mud, man. You gotta fall and get up. Amen. You gotta go and shout. Enjoy what you're doing. When you get happy, you'll shout. Shouting is coming from when you're happy. If you just shout in the house of God and they wouldn't get you happy, that is just noise you're making. That ain't praising God. That is noise. It's when you get happy from the word and you start to shout, that's praising God. God don't care how low that go. You know what I'm saying? That you're happy. Long ago, you hear a lot of people commenting on the word is going forth, saying bad things. And you say, no, it's been the flesh. You hear the fleshly one. It doesn't know, it's just like people want to be heard. And then some people get happy and they lost all control. The joy of the Lord filled their heart is a different thing. Let's close with Psalm 101. Let's purpose in our hearts. And I want these young people who listen to me tonight and may have listened attentively, some may have understood in part and some may not. I want you to know, my first desire for you is to see many of you who are still young and not yet been baptized come to a Christian experience and be baptized. The greatest joy, the greatest victory we could celebrate in this church, the greatest thing that could get all of us happy in this church and unite us, is when we're going to see achievements like that. I'm glad when they pass the GC, I'm glad when they pass the exam, I'm glad when you build something nice with your hands, I'm glad when you play and enjoying sport and you achieve certain goals in sport and so on. But I believe God will be most pleased when you would make an identification to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, to train on His team, because He and Lucifer is meeting the battleground. And you want to be on His team. You know, Michael, I'm on your side. Who is on the Lord's side? The Lord have a side, you know. And you know, who is on the Lord's side? And the Lord revealing the names that He picked to be on His side. You know what I'm saying? And when in your heart to say amen to the captain of the Lord host, and you know you're on His side, and let me tell you, the Lord is leading on to certain victory.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Victory is sure for this team. Yes. And there will be a great prize giving day when we climb the ivory staircase for those who play on that team. So what I'm saying tonight, put on your gears tonight.
Glory.
Put on your whole armor tonight. Come to the blood to get on the field. Get washed in the water of the word. And let's really put on a performance that will be complementary to what all those who have played on this team in past generations, that we could be identifying the ranks of some of them great players in Hebrews 11. Who played and came out with great achievements during the eras that they had played on the Lord's side. And we who play on the Lord's side, let's do everything that we can for our team. I will sing of mercy and justice unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Let the congregation read the second verse. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of those who turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. You may read. Whoso secretly slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I tolerate. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. How many young people tonight willing to say, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. How many young people tonight would say, I purpose my heart, I will not defile myself. Let me see them hands if you really mean that tonight. All of the young people who sit and hear these words. You really want to make a stand for the Lord, many of you? May God bless you. May you see the desire in your heart. And may you keep your eyes on the perfect of the land. May you not look down there to the drunkard or the harlot, for example, or to the Jezebel out in the street, or to the womanizer outside there. But may you look to the perfect in the land, then that walk upright. And may you purpose in your heart. Amen. You're going to serve from all unbelief tonight. Amen. And let me tell you, you're going to find that there is such a joy. There is such a happiness, a peace, a full assurance, a full satisfaction that we can draw in serving the Lord. You appreciate this word tonight?
Yes.
Amen. I just felt in my heart I want to do that. I felt the Lord put it up in my heart for days, and you know, we have had a situation that wasn't so pleasant. Our brother Keith Steve and his wife, you know, who was expecting, she had she was traveling a maxi taxi, and they almost got in a collision. And I guess, you know, she, with the driver trying to escape from being involved in the accident, you know, it really shook up real bad, and she had a hemorrhage, and they had to take her quickly to the hospital. She had twin stool gills, but they were premature, and they lived a little while, and then the Lord took them. So they have suffered that loss, and we trust that God will really encourage them and comfort them, and we too can stand with them and really cheer them up. We have made a great sacrifice helping us in the building. I think just a couple of weeks ago, but Earl George, his dear wife, he was out there working, and she was having, she wasn't due yet, and she began to go into labor. I don't know if something caused it, if she had followed up, but she had lost that baby too. And, you know, he had delivered a child, as a matter of fact, had to run home. The little girl came quite the way he's working, and he had to run up there quickly. And then Sanka himself was involved in an accident yesterday, going to work on Monday, and escaped with only minor injuries. God gracious did to help him. But Colin was telling me he was in an accident, and a couple of other brothers have been in an accident over the past few days. And, you know, Sister Susan was telling me on the phone of an incident too, and of how, you know, it just seems like, you know, that it wasn't the saints' fault in any way in some of these situations, just like the devil is on the rampage. And I tell you, when the people begin to get together and unite together, and we begin to do something positive and stand where we should stand, I tell you, the devil is going to try to come at everything. And we get here in the Word these last few seasons here, in the book of Daniel, and I think God has really opened the Word and really going to bless our hearts, and we are going to find ourselves under a great attack. And that's why we need to be so consolidated and stand together. And I know God will give us certain victory, because we are ordained to win. We are ordained to win, friends. We are not going to be losers. Amen. We are going to be the winners in this race. God bless you. Let's stand up tonight. Also, I have one announcement here. You know, we are trying to see a rapid development in the landscaping, and we have been set back so far because what we retard in our progress at present is the availability of good topsoil to begin planting the lawn in many areas where we need to do it. And we are trusting that if we make an announcement like this, it could have fruitful results, because we only had a couple people looking for us. So we thought if we make an announcement to the General Assembly, then we have, instead of four or five eyes, six eyes, or eight eyes, we'd have a few hundred eyes. So it means, say, wherever you're passing, you see maybe they have topsoil or they dig up some place or something, good dude for planting, all you need to inquire, you know, the availability of it, and we can manage the transport or pay for it or whatever it is. We are glad to do it. We need the acquisition of it at this time. We are trusting that God will open up to us, because we need to plant the lawn. So I want to have you all on the lookout, wherever you might be, and if you see it, you get back to any of the trustees by the grace of God, and let us know you see such and such a place, and at least what information you could bring to help us, that will help us to locate this. It would be greatly appreciated. Amen. Let us have a word of prayer before we dismiss. Our gracious Heavenly Father, taking some little Bible examples and making some comments tonight, Lord, and directing it to the hearts of the young, of being endued with skill and understanding, how it can make us more successful in life, how it can cause us to strive to great achievements, achieve goals that we may have thought it was impossible to achieve those things, or those things were beyond us, or it was only a dream and could never be a reality. But we realize, Father, through Christ we can do all things. And we've seen the Bible in work, in play, in war, in music. You give skill and you give understanding. And how we as a church desire skill and understanding like Daniel. Consider the matter and to understand the vision. Especially in these last days, to stand as a force to be reckoned with upon the face of the earth. We can fulfill His great commission, Lord. But thinking more of the needs of the youth, Lord, and what we have in our hearts for them, what we are trying to do to see a better relationship, better unity and friendship and fellowship. These activities, Lord, that we have arranged and planned, that they might have the opportunity to interact with each other and to do things together in a meaningful way, to see positive results. Come among them, Lord. See them develop in the childhood, in the growing up. To see them become more disciplined, strengthened, more joyful in their outward nature, Lord. Make them a little more free with each other. I pray, dear God, that you would bless them, Father. And even as, Lord, we look at the examples of Daniel, how he purposed in his heart. And David, how he purposed in his heart. And the dangers of being like Esau, who was just wrapped up in the sport and rejected the things of God. Rejected the birthright. Didn't think of it, Lord, in the way he should have thought of it. Didn't attach the value to it that you are supposed to give to it. Help our young brothers and our young sisters. They are a great resource amongst us, Lord. If there is to be a tomorrow, they will be the ones who understand, Lord. They will be the ones who have to carry on this work. If we have to pass over into other hands, they will be the ones, Lord. Oh, gracious God, I pray. The association with us in the gospel of Jesus Christ will have such a godly influence upon their lives. We cause them, Lord, to grow up like it said of David in the Bible, prudent in matters, valiant, skillful. The Lord was with him. Oh God, a man after your own heart. Blessed be your name. Youths in whom there is no blemish, skilled with all learning and wisdom. Let your Holy Spirit move in their hearts, Father. Let them see that you are their sufficiency. Let them see, Lord, that the thoughts you think of them is thoughts of peace and not of evil. Let them understand the great mystery of Calvary. Let their hearts be won by your love and affection for them. Let that love and affection so be clearly reflected through us in the form of an exemplary life, leaving footsteps so that we walk in clear, defined, not obscure, not uncertain, Lord, not crooked, but straight. Let us be happy here in this assembly, serving you together. Let us work together to know we can achieve together. In unity there is strength. Let's rise and shine, knowing this is our hour. Let me fully convince you are in our midst, Lord. There's no gate that we can stand before. Let us see every aspect of our lives. Every area. Your word holds the answer to help us develop, overcome. Praise the Lord. May these words sink deep down in their hearts and the children also our hearts. May from this day we show purpose in our hearts to walk close to you, to live for you every moment. All that we say and do will be done with Christian example, with Christian influence, with godly purpose. Not for self-glorification, not for carnal competition, not to try to prove we're better than someone, but in love and unity. Let your blessing be upon our efforts. Let what we strive to do be successful. Let those who have responsibility, let us work together. Let us accept the responsibility. Let us have humility, sincerity. Let us not try to get above our personal influence. Let us have a godly influence. So you can be identified and be pleased. Run our effort and stand on our side and to undertake for us in every situation. Oh God, may you come. Thank you tonight, Father, for being here. As you leave this place, go to our homes, your divine presence, to one of us. Yet God, you just carry a long life. Come up another time to your house. It's time for work and the project. May the Lord, God, may we turn out willingly to live our Lord God with great enthusiasm, pouring our strength, giving our service. It's time to play. May we play energetically, enthusiastically, enjoyably, Lord. Doing all things together as a family in Christ. We thank you for this. May the Father's Spirit come to great experience, great revelation. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will be glorified, Lord. Friendly answer. Amen. Have a seat. Remember the prayer meeting? Prayer service on Friday night. And I think they're going to have one of their first games with the kids on Saturday afternoon. And you all, we greatly appreciate to be there for the kids, to help them, the children, to cheer them, spur them on, give them the support. Let you be happy with them when they are happy. The time of relaxation for some of you. Sit down and enjoy the beautiful situation, the breeze. The brothers with the work, I guess they'll be informed. There'll be a couple of meetings after service tonight. We need to get things planned to keep on going. And please remember, we have within 1 month to meet our financial commitment to the building. And may God help us in all our efforts, in our sacrifice, in our giving. I've been so energetic these last few days. I guess boost of spiritual energy. Let's see the flow. I feel like no gate to stand before us at this time. Just feel the sound. It's like down mountain become a plain before the river bell. We've gone forward to see great things happen. Trying to help the brothers in their business, trying to help them in different areas. And God certainly been blessing, helping many others. And it's been good to see that many places where many might have been shackled and bound and kept back and remain underdeveloped, we really strive to be what we need to be. We have a special prayer we want to ask you to remember in the prayer services concerning our articles of association that we have had, that we apply for some tax exemption, that we could bring in some fixtures and the carpet and different things for the tabernacle. And we have at present an obstacle facing us through the legal channels.
But something in my heart, I just feel so positive about it. That I guess in this book of Daniel, I see God rule in the kingdoms of men. I see God raise up like Cyrus the great dick. The people are about to build a temple and these things. And something that makes you feel strong. And you pray. And pray purposefully. Pray concentrated in these areas. Whatever obstacle have to move, whatever advice we need, whatever way these things need to be presented to have the right influence, in whose hearts God have to touch to give us favor, who God have to blind to pass the things. Amen. By the grace of God, our desires can be fulfilled. Amen. God be with you. Take you safe to your home. Keep positive. Keep in His presence. And know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things are lawful, but all things are expedient. You want to have consideration for one another. You don't want to be a stumbling block. You want to help one another. You will all serve God and strive for greater heights. We will not be spiritual dwarfs, we will be spiritual giants. We will go forth and conquer what is before us. We are more than able to take any promise that is spoken in this Bible. This is our time frame. We didn't live in Luther time. We didn't live in Wesley time. We can rejoice with them in what they did and their achievement. But we have our time. And our message has come and released something to us. Now let us work with that. And let us achieve. Let's hold that key. And let's unlock them doors. Go forward. God bless you. Amen. In my heart, this is so filled with His presence. Tonight, flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow through me. Oh, that we all be so energized, quickened, charged. The Holy Ghost pulsate in our lives. Feeling the power of God. And what we do in the Spirit, we do it faith. Why is not a faith of sin? Believe God. If you trust and never doubt, you will surely be yours. Let that Holy Spirit flow through us. As we go home, we talk to one another, we greet one another tonight. Let it flow from heart to heart. Let it flow to the members to each other. Let it unite us and bind us together. And we'll be a force to be reckoned with. But the devil will get so fed up, he'll get that so discouraged when he sees us a united people. Amen. Oh, through me. As I lift my hands, would you lift them tonight? As I lift. Oh, to worship. And through magnify thy name, Lord, through me, Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, let it breathe in you tonight. Whatever we do in the Spirit, amen. With understanding, Paul said. Oh my, don't you feel Him just coming in? That's what God wants, a Spirit-filled church. Yes, Lord, me and my brother, my sister. Amen. Lord. Worship in spirit for you.
all join in and sing it as I lift my hands towards heaven. Dismissed tonight. If you'd like to come forward and pray, you can do so at this time. As you go on your way tonight, let's just sing this chorus. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forever.
Run!